Good evening, everybody, and welcome back to Fan Experience TV. We are on episode 52, and for those of you who are just joining us, I am your host, Mike Kados. Alongside me is my co-host, Rick Molina. Rick, how are you doing tonight?
Doing well, Mike. Good to be back on Fan Experience TV. Got the Rangers on over here. They're up 2-1 against the Buffalo Sabres. We got a lot to get into tonight. Got a little football. We got a little baseball to talk about. Some interesting stuff on Wall Street happening today. But we'll start with obviously the big news in the NFL, Deshaun Watson requesting a trade from the Houston Texans. He has had it with the organization. He is not happy with the leadership, and he has said unequivocally that he will not play for the Houston Texans, man. So your thoughts on what happened today?
Yeah, I mean, you know, they hired a new head coach, and it didn't change things.
Nope.
It didn't change things.
Literally.
I scrolled past an NFL meme.
Yeah.
And it was pretty funny. You got they go, "Oh, we hired a head coach. You know, we're definitely gonna be playing better this year." And it's just a clip from the Fresh Prince with Uncle Phil laughing.
I saw that one. That was
funny. The sentiment doesn't change anything. Just because you hired the new head coach, you know, they've been doing him dirty since he's gotten there. I mean, let's be real. Like, you know, not only do you not get this guy an offensive line, you're getting this guy to run for his life, and then you go and trade his top receiver and one of the top receivers in the game, no less. Let's be real. I mean, for a running back that was well past his prime and a couple of draft picks, but you want to win. Like, you have the pieces. Why are you going to trade one of the pieces that actually is part, you know, big part of that team? I mean, you know, DeAndre Hopkins was able to produce with anybody throwing him the ball. Yep. And you're going to take that away from Deshaun Watson. You know, that's doing him dirty. And you know what? Deshaun Watson, there are a lot of teams that could use Deshaun Watson's help. You know, I know that me and you differ on a couple. I honestly think that the Giants should make a play for him too.
Wow.
You know, anybody, you know, I mean, they were talking today on Carton and Roberts.
Yeah.
That even if Baltimore comes calling and says Lamar for Deshaun, you know, you got to
make that move, of course.
But you know, do the Ravens do it?
No, I don't. They're locked into Lamar Jackson. They're going to sign him to a long term contract. Look, I think this. I think if you're the Jets or the Dolphins with Tua, but it's particularly because you and I are Jets fans. We'll talk about the Jets for a second. Everybody's talking about you got to go all in. You got to do that. My only concern with that is if you do go all in on Deshaun Watson, you're giving up a lot of draft capital, man. And the same thing that you're trying to do,
you're getting a known entity. You're not gambling.
But who's
granted? But anything can happen to anybody in the NFL. However, like, what if Justin Fields isn't the answer? What if Devonta Smith?
Yeah,
yes, he's a game changer. Granted, but who's going to be throwing him the ball? Now, part of me says, okay, let's wait and see where all these other QB carousels are going to end up.
Right.
Because if we can land like a Stafford for less.
Oh, no, you don't want Stafford.
But I know, but
I get it. Yeah.
I know you don't, but
yeah.
You also, do you want Darnold? Do you want Wentz? Do you want Goff?
No.
Can we get Rodgers? We're not getting Rodgers.
No, he's not.
He's going to resign.
Yeah,
Dak Prescott's going to resign.
Yep.
Garoppolo. Do you go for Garoppolo?
No, he gets hurt too much and he's inconsistent.
Yeah, but we're talking about the best in class.
I get it. And I hear what you're saying. But the question is, when he gets here, you still got to put a team around him. We still don't have receivers. We still don't have a top back. We still don't have a top tight end. Our defense is shaky. I mean, you still got to build a team. And
you're not going to win this year. But – are you going to win?
I mean, but
is there a better chance in winning in the next 5 years with Deshaun Watson?
Yeah, but he doesn't want to wait. Deshaun Watson doesn't want to wait 5 years. He wants to win now. He's 25. He's in his prime. He wants to win now. Like, the guy wants to win now.
Yes, but he also wants to know that he's going to be on a team that's going to do everything in their power to. He wants to come to the Jets. Okay, he wants to come to the Jets.
He wants to come to the Jets. That as leverage for Miami to up their ante, because I think he really wants to go to Miami. I think that's where he wants to go. I think he wants to play Miami. And Miami's tailor-made for him. Their defense is ready. They got tremendous talent over there. I mean, it's tailor-made for him to go in there and change that team around. You know, I don't know that Miami has a lot of faith in Tua. You know, I think they're a little skeptical. But I think if there's one team that's tailor-made for Deshaun Watson to get there and immediately make a run, it's the Miami Dolphins. And
well,
I think you could say that
about a lot of different teams, too.
That about the Jets. If he gets to the Jets, that team is not ready for him. It is not. I mean,
I agree with you there. Right. I don't think that the team is ready.
So if you
build around Watson, however, you can build around Watson and not an unknown entity.
I get it, but if you don't have
any, because what are we gonna draft? We're gonna draft a quarterback. We're gonna draft Devonta Smith and have nobody around him and ruin his career.
But you can build a team around him. And if I'm Deshaun Watson is top 4 or 5 quarterback in the league, no doubt. But if I'm the Jets, and you got to think, just sort of taking a step back, I don't know that the team is in a situation where they're tailor-made for him. He's going to be walking into a situation that he's in Houston right now. They don't have it. They're devoid of talent. They need draft picks. They still need help. Yes, Robert Saleh is the coach, but they still need to build that team. That he's pretty much walking into the same type of situation, except the culture here is a little better than it is in Houston. It's just a mess down there. So if you're Deshaun Watson, you have to ask yourself, is this the right fit for me? And I don't know that it is. The Jets may go all in.
Obviously, he's going to have to sign off if the Jets offer. And Houston was to accept it, then he would have to, you know, say yay or nay on that. However, I do think that there are pieces on the Jets offense that are going to be good for Deshaun Watson to come in. Was our running game good?
No. It started with Le'Veon Bell, then it went to it. Then it was Frank Gore the whole time.
Look at the end of that season. Ty Johnson was running. But their run blocking for the – that was the only strength in our offense.
They still need to rebuild that.
And
line
then you have
to protect Sam.
But Sam Darnold is erratic, and Deshaun Watson can make more plays. And he still has Mims there. If he can get a rapport going with Mims and Herndon, like we have pass catchers. We just didn't have somebody.
I don't believe in Herndon at all. You got to move on from that kid.
Because Darnold couldn't do it.
I don't think he can do it here, period.
I understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
But you can give him another shot with a real quarterback.
But how many shots are we giving this guy, Mike? I mean, Herndon, every year we hear about he's a unicorn.
He's not going to end up being Travis Kelce.
No, he's
not.
I'm not saying that.
But I'm saying that there are serviceable pieces on that Jets offense.
I don't see it, man. They need playmakers. They need a Devonta Smith. They need to draft this kid out of Clemson at the end.
But Deshaun Watson has done it with nothing.
Yeah, but he does. But that's the point. We don't want him to keep doing it with nothing. Like the team needs to be built for him to walk in and be like, okay, like what Brady did with Tampa. That team was tailor made, ready for him to come in, take the reins, and look what now they're leading him to the Super Bowl. Just like I think if he goes to Miami, they go to the AFC Championship. That's how good they're going to be. He's just going to elevate that team. If he comes to the Jets, yes, but he doesn't have anything around him. You still got to build that defense. You need an edge rusher. You need another corner. You need another linebacker out there. Like the Jets
need a lot of pieces.
They need a lot of pieces.
But,
and I don't know that you give up all that
draft capital. You need pieces, but why add a quarterback to that need pieces equation? You're going to have the quarterback.
But I understand
what you're saying, but you know,
we disagree.
We differ because this guy is he's just an amazing talent. And
he's great.
You don't want him to go to a team that you're going to play, especially not twice in a season.
Yeah. So we'll see. We'll see who ponies up the draft capital. We'll see.
Yeah. We'll touch on it a little bit more after our next guest. Now joining us is Raina Evars.
Hi.
Hi, Raina.
How are you?
Good. How are y'all?
Doing well.
We're doing We're doing great. Thank you very much for coming on. We're excited to have you on.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I was excited when you reached out a few months ago just to chat about it. And why not talk about sports when we got nothing else to do?
Yeah.
No, absolutely. So real quick before we get started, we were talking about Deshaun Watson. Do you want him on the Panthers?
I'm going to be honest. If I actually tried to throw out some stats or any knowledge, I would look like an absolute fool because I've not been keeping up with it. But I am a huge Deshaun Watson fan because I grew up in Charleston, South Carolina. And I'm a Clemson fan first and foremost in my earlier years. So anywhere Deshaun Watson plays, I will be a fan.
Okay, awesome. Fair enough.
Awesome. Yeah. So you know, let's take it back to you know, when you're a kid, and you know what drew you to sports. You know, what sport was it that you picked up at a younger age and started following or started playing, and what drew you to love of sports?
Yeah, so my dad has always been very active. He's a big fitness guy, and that honestly was the big thing that he and I had in common when I was little. So he'd wake me up in the morning and we'd go on our little bike rides. And then once I got old enough, I started running with him. And then we did Girls on the Run, which is like a national program that helps just get little girls out in the community running and working out. And then after that, it moved to volleyball. That was my first like organized sport that I really loved. And I ended up sticking with that for 8 years. And that was just something that I had in common with other people my age. My sisters both were into more like, one was more into books and she liked kind of just staying in and hanging out with friends. And the other liked to go shopping and go to the movies and do your more like stereotypical girls activities. And me being the little sister, I actually didn't want to do any of that stuff just because they did. So sports was the thing that I just leaned on.
Awesome. Awesome. Rick, you can take the next one.
No, yeah, no, you're like the, so first of all, thank you for coming on tonight. You know, you're like the third or fourth Dodger fan we've had on the show in the right, Mike, in the 52. Everybody's a Dodger fan these days. So
yeah, I think we had more than that.
Yeah, we've had quite a few Dodgers fans. So you became a Dodgers fan, you know, in the last few years. Tell us about that. When did you know you live with a classmate's grandmother who moved to CA for grad school? So tell us how that all started.
Yes. So I pole vaulted at UNC and I ended up quitting my junior year. And I asked my coach instead if I could help out with the track meets because I really liked organizing and planning. And it got to the point where I preferred organizing and planning than I did practicing, which is not good as a student athlete. So we just kind of nixed the whole weight room practice thing and I went straight into the spreadsheets.
Yeah.
It's not your typical sports story, but that's mine. And I loved the organizing and the events so much that I ended up pursuing my master's in sport management at Long Beach State. Okay. So when I moved there, I had met Tia Karapoulios, and I met her at a conference and was messaging her, you know, taking the some of the tests we had to take to get into grad school. And she said, hey, if you actually come to Long Beach, you can live with my grandmother who has Alzheimer's because we have an extra bedroom. And I'm like, oh, yeah, that's perfect. That'll be so fun. Anyone who's ever dealt with Alzheimer's, it's not super fun. But the grandma was an absolute treat. And my first week living there, the whole family invited me to a Dodgers game midweek. And I'm like a kid in the candy shop. I'm like, are you kidding me? A Dodgers game, first of all, that's nuts. And then midweek, we're doing like a sporting event. That's not normal either because I'm used to, you know, the Saturday football games. So we ended up going to the Dodgers stadium and I'm almost crying. I'm in like pure shock. You know, there's palm trees everywhere in the middle of the city and we're downtown. So we fought a bunch of traffic over like 5-lane highways, which I was like, first of all, I didn't even know those existed. And then we're in the stadium and there's a little hut. I remember texting one of my friends about this, if I should buy a Dodgers hat or not, because it was like trendy and stylish. So I didn't want to seem like I was trying too hard, but he was like, you live in LA, like you can be a Dodgers fan and it's not weird. So I bought a Dodgers hat. We bought a bunch of beer and nachos and hot dogs. And I was used to being an athlete, you know, on the field or like being watched and actually having to play. And so that was the first time I ever just sat back, felt a good little buzz, watched a sporting game midweek. And it was just like an activity to do during the week. So huge fan ever since.
Now, and well, how did you feel when they won the World Series this year? I mean, what were your thoughts around that?
Oh, so that mixed feelings because I actually moved back to North Carolina from California last year when I took a job. So of course, the year that they won, I'm texting all my friends and I'm Snapchatting them and Instagramming them like, how is it? Like, is LA nuts? And they're like, no, it's COVID. We're all quarantined, but this is still really cool.
You know, I think we were on, right, Mike? I think we were on the air. We were doing an interview with the Dodgers, with Danielle Lugo.
It was game one.
Okay. I thought it was like the clincher. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
No, it was game one. Actually, you know what?
No, I think it was the clincher. It might have been that game.
Yeah. It might have been the clincher. Yeah. 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 You're right. But yeah, I mean, LA was, you know, they got hit hard with COVID, but yeah. LA has definitely been
the place to be this year in sports.
Yeah. It's the place to be in sports. But actually, it's been LA and Florida. I mean, and look, you got Tampa Bay back in a championship game.
And my sister actually lives in Tampa, and then one of my friends from high school lives in Tampa too. So I've been texting them, and I asked my sister, I was like, is there any way like you could get tickets? I don't really know how the stadium's doing things. Is there like a lottery system? Because I'll pay you to get in the lottery system. No.
No. Yeah, there's only limited tickets this year, obviously, with COVID going on, but they are giving away free tickets to healthcare workers, which is great to see. But you know, hopefully we can get back to some normalcy soon and all get back to games. So let's talk a little bit about your experience out there in LA. So you end up working for the Chargers for a little bit too. Oh, actually, first it was ESPN. So tell us about a production assistant.
Yes. So I will throw that out there. ESPN never paid me money. So anyone who oversaw me working with ESPN, I will tell you I did not make a dime.
Okay.
Yes. At one point I worked with ESPN for an event out there. I'm also being careful about how much detail I give away.
Totally fine.
I was working an event. And I think this is one of the biggest sports memories I have. Most of my friends or anyone I've come across, they will attest that I don't meet a stranger. I can sit there and talk to a wall and entertain myself. Like, people don't faze me. I love them. I was at a loss for words when Shaquille O'Neal walked into the back room, and it was my job to host him and his 25 guests. It was kind of a last minute ordeal, and my boss stepped out for a second and she was coming right back, but she just said, hey, make sure they know where the snack table is, right? Like, that's all I need you to do. So I come up and I'm like, hi, I'm all of a sudden every bone in my body freezes. I'm almost like paralyzed. I can't even tell you what my name is. I'm like, hi. And I just point to the snack table. They're like, okay, cool. They're not there to be my friend. They're like, cool, thank you. Like, they're being respectful and just, carry on with their business. And then Shaq asks me I walk past him and he says, hey, excuse me, do you have a pen I could use? And I just, I don't find a pen. And I'm like, Raina, I almost like slap myself, right? I'm like, Raina, get it together. Like, you are 24 years old right now. You are not five. Get it together. So then I walk back, I'm sweating profusely. My makeup is definitely dripping at this point. And I'm like, here you go, Shaq. And he's like, cool, thanks. Like, he's not even thinking twice about it. I think you can see a pit stain in my body. And then afterwards, he comes over and he returns the pen to me. And one of the other interns we were with said something, I forgot what it was, but somehow in conversation it came up between the two of them that he has his PhD. I am also not the best celebrity knowledge person. I don't know pop culture. I couldn't tell you who's married to who or what child's name is what. I don't know. I don't really care. I laughed and said, yeah, right. Shaq has his PhD. He does, everybody, in case you don't know that.
Okay. It's confirmed.
Normally.
It's confirmed.
Yeah. Yes. So he looked, my Wi-Fi also, or my internet. My electricity is not the best, so my light might be better. But Shaq looked at me and he goes, what'd you just say? And I was like, you don't have a PhD? And I look like an absolute idiot. I'm making a total fool of myself. Yeah. I should have just kept my mouth shut. And he pulled out his phone and he showed me what he was doing. And he proceeded to Google his name and show me his Wikipedia page to prove that he has his PhD and just kind of like did an eyebrow at me. I was like, you can have all the snacks you need. I apologize.
Wow.
That's an incredible story.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, so that was interesting.
I wish I could have been there to see all that transpire in real time.
And in my head, I'm like, oh my gosh, this is so embarrassing. And he probably has no idea. Like, he's never going to watch this and he's not going to remember any of that. But I will tell everyone the rest of my life that story.
Yeah. How was it like, just like, you know, just standing right next to him and like the size difference? I mean, you could see like the Rock standing next to Shaq and he looks small. So like, what was that like? Cranking your neck the whole time?
So I'm 5'7". I'm not, you know, super short. I'm not super tall. Mm-hmm. And I probably came up to his belly button.
Wow.
And he's also maybe like four times as wide as I am. So I felt like a little hobbit. Like I would just like, I'm like straining to look up even with heels on. And it was just, he was massive, like this humongous human just standing in front of you.
And you questioned his PhD. He could have squashed you with no.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. And I took a Snapchat selfie. Yeah. I took a Snapchat selfie and I still have it actually. But I was videoing and like trying to have him like right in the background of it. And I'm like, oh my gosh, like Shaq's right here. And he just comes in like straight at the camera and he's just like looking right over my shoulder. And I'm like, oh my God. And I start sweating again.
Oh man, that is just, that's an amazing story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that's incredible. And what's he like? I mean, is he a nice guy? Is he, you know, regular dude, like real humble? Like, because from what you see on TV, he's just like this big comedian. He's almost like a kid. Is that how he really is?
That's exactly how he is. Like, he makes everyone like, I think he can tell if people are nervous.
Yeah.
And obviously I was, so he kind of made a comedy out of it. And then he's just hanging out. Like, he knows he's, you know, big stuff. And he doesn't like to broadcast it. I feel like, I mean, you know, from the 10 minutes I actually got to know him, but he was just hanging out. He was asking like, oh, like y'all are in school. Like, what are you studying? How are the classes going? And then it's like, oh, well, you know, my son over there, we just went and did this with him. And then, oh, this is my security guard, and talked about security guard's daughter. Like, we're just hanging out, just a regular guy who happens to be ginormous, ridiculous, and have a PhD.
And then Mike, like, so you worked at ESPN, you interned at ESPN. Then after that, you worked with the Chargers. Is that what it was?
Yes. So I did honestly a ton of different random things in LA just to get as much experience as I could and network a lot. Mm-hmm. But with the Chargers, I worked, I want to say 4 or 5 games.
Okay.
In the community relations department, and I was a 50-50 raffle girl.
Wow.
Yes. So for anyone who doesn't know, that is when you have this ginormous contraption like around your shoulder, and it's a big like ticketing machine.
Yeah.
And people will pay you. So you put money in like this little pouch, or they can slide their credit card, and they just buy lottery tickets that will end up going, I think, to the Children's Hospital. And they announce the winner in the fourth quarter. But what they don't tell you is that you get a really cute visor that has like a little lightning bolt on it, which is fine. I like visors, and a highlighter green shirt that says 50-50 raffle, like right on, like you cannot miss us if you tried. And people did try to miss us. So that was fun. Just walking around the concourse and being able to watch some of the game too.
Nice.
Yeah. The Chargers were my adopted team this year.
Yeah, they've been getting very popular on the show this year.
Yeah, we got some fans in the audience here.
Oh, that's one of my best friends. I was actually just FaceTiming with her earlier.
Jordan, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for joining us.
Riverman saying hi.
Ryan.
I've always had like a soft spot for the Chargers, but then this year with the Jets just being abysmal, and then Herbert just, you know, playing very well, and you know, as a rookie and everything. It was just exciting, you know, to follow the games over there in LA. I know that, well, they didn't have fans this year, but that was actually kind of nothing new to them. let's just say that the Rams are the Cinderella of the ball over there in LA, Raina, so far.
Don't like fool you, because we went to watch a game. This was like mid-October, I think. Was it October, November? And he shows up with like a LaDainian Tomlinson jersey. So I think he's been a secret Chargers fan for a while.
I was gonna say, you bought a jersey, like.
Yeah,
I actually got a couple of Chargers jerseys. Actually, so that,
I think
I told you I have. I've always liked the Chargers. I mean, I'm not gonna lie.
I think
I've
always
LaDainian and Philip Rivers and Merriman, and you know, I mean,
here we go. He starts naming them off. There we go.
I could probably name more Chargers than I can Jets.
He's got a Google page pulled up. Don't even believe
that. No. So let's move on from the. By the way, next year me and Rick, we're going to SoFi Stadium. Did you get a chance to see the stadium before you left LA?
So we got to go to the preview center while I was like in grad school. So we had one of the top dogs for the premium seating department show us around, and we got like the full VIP experience of what they would give someone buying like loge seats and I'm using the terminology, like the box seats and everything. Mm-hmm. So it was really cool when we saw like a really like a miniature model, and like they did like 3D graphics and everything with it. So we got like super cool VIP treatment. But no, I've never physically been in the stadium. I was texting some friends who work in operations for the stadium and asking them how the games were going this year. And I told them they had to save me a lanyard because I collect my lanyards and my like little like badges from different games.
Yeah.
I said I needed one, but no, I have not had the pleasure of being in that beautiful stadium yet.
Yeah, we're going to go next year because the Super Bowl is going to be there. So we already booked their a place over there for Super Bowl week. And we just have to, we're going to try and get into, you know, like Podcast Row and try and get into the, you know, like the press areas and during press week. If we can get
that would be great.
So, yeah.
I actually, I did not receive that email confirmation about all of our plans for it. So if you could just forward me that, I'm ready.
Okay.
Okay. Right. There we go. All right. We got a co-host. There we go.
We're going to Marina Del Rey, so you know, it's only like 15 minutes from the stadium. Yeah. I haven't been to LA since I was 18, 19 years old. So going on
really
almost
a long time.
You know, 18 years. So you know, more than half my life has gone by since I've been there last. Mm-hmm. So moving on from the Chargers, you went and you worked at. For Legends for a little bit as a sales and marketing intern. You were there for like 2 years almost.
Yes. So that was in Rose Bowl Stadium. Legends across the board is a company that helps with premium seating in the different stadiums around the country. So I was under Megan Pascal, who is absolutely fabulous. She taught me anything I know, honestly, in terms of sales and marketing for sports. But what we did was we helped host different events for just premium seating clients. So anyone who had box seats and like suites and everything, the Terry Donahue Pavilion was new for the stadium. So it was our job to sell those like that like incredible luxury experience rather than, you know, regular Rose Bowl tickets. I mean, of course you want those anyways. So we had events up there, and then I was also able to work UCLA football games because that's their home stadium, as well as Rose Bowl games. So I worked two of those, which were absolutely incredible. You know, New Year's Eve, you go out. I was DD for New Year's Eve since I knew I had to work. So that was great. We were out until like 2 a.m. And then I went home, full makeup on still, hair's done. Took a little nap on the couch for an hour at the grandma's house. And then I got in my car and it 3:30 a.m. driving over to the Rose Bowl Stadium to start the day.
That's incredible.
Awesome. Yeah, no, that's that. Rick, I'll let you.
No, yeah. So what's it like over there at the Rose Bowl with the parade and all the teams playing? Like, tell us, share some of that with our fans. Cause we always see the Rose Bowl on New Year's Day and it's like, it's an incredible event. What's like the city of Pasadena like? Cause I've been down there before, but not during the Rose Bowl. What's that experience like?
I can't even put words, obviously. Yeah. The energy is unreal. Like, anyone who was there has obviously paid a fair amount or knows someone who did. So no one's just like passed out drunk in the parking lot, you know, like everyone is super excited, high energy, you know, they're just like in great moods. Honestly, like I've been to games before where the beginning, like of a big game, like even the parking lot parties, they kind of get into fights and everything.
Yeah.
It was not like that at all. I never actually got to see the parade because we were prepping with like the pregame tailgate for a lot of the premium seat ticket holders.
Yeah.
So we would have like a tailgate area just for them. But you know, in any direction you look, people are fully decked out in their team gear. Everyone just wants to chat with everyone. There's a bit of, teasing going on between teams. But nothing that's actually that terrible. But the week before is usually nuts because people are in town and everyone's wanting to look around. And we would go into the office and finish up last minute paperwork and spreadsheets and things. But once you're actually in the game and the game has started, everyone's just focused on the game. Like a lot of times for UCLA football games or like different concerts, people are kind of hanging around and chatting. But like Rose Bowl game, like, this is an event. We are paying attention. And then at the end of the game, that's my favorite though, is because at the end they have like all the confetti, you know, pop up and it's always red and white. And one year when we had Georgia win, it was perfect because it was their team colors too.
Yeah.
But one of the interns and I were able to end up being in the stands when the team won. Oh, I've never been on that side where it's like fans explode so crazy and then they storm the field and it was, oh my gosh, it was an incredible experience. And then we were able to have champagne on like the actual rows of the field after the game. Wow. And that was my first year working there. And I'm just like kid in a candy shop again. Like I was like, this is my peak. I don't know how life can be better than this.
Short of playing in the game and actually winning, that's really the only thing up from there.
And how were you guys? So you were working and you were able to get on the field, drink champagne. Like how did that happen? Like how?
So that was hours after the game. Left everything. No one is even left in the parking lots at that point. Like everything's been cleared out.
Yeah.
So we had to stay and clean up and everything. And so then afterwards, it's like a congratulations, we made it. It's not a huge pop and bottles thing. It's like, okay, like our team clinks glasses. We did it. Let's move on.
All right. Yeah, so, I was about to say that.
So you were designated driver the day before. And then you got to, you know, stand on the rows drinking champagne. So I think you made a good trade-off there.
Not too terrible.
Yeah. I honestly, I think New Year's Eve is overrated, to be honest, in my opinion. But yeah, you definitely, you know, that's a once in a lifetime experience, and I would trade New Year's Eve designated driver for that any day of the week.
100%.
Yeah. No. So I just wanted to move forward a little bit, and after you were working at the Rose Bowl for Legends, you went on to work for Spartan Race, and you were a merchandise operations manager. You were helping them over there at Spartan Race for a couple of years as well. So tell us what that was like.
Yeah, so that is an incredible experience too. That was a once in a lifetime deal. So Spartan Races, they're about 75 a year in the U.S. and it's about every week, honestly, in between three other merchandise operations managers, we split 75 races over 2019. So we were on the road, like I was on the road for 6 weeks at one point. And for a span of, I want to say 5 months, the longest I was home for a period of time was 2 weeks. Wow. So hotels and airports became home, like that was normal. And we would get to site and we'd be there for anywhere from 3 to 7 days, depending on the size of the race. But picture like a huge outdoor festival. If you've been to one, or like a fair, you know, it's just in a huge open space and all these companies come in and put up tents and they kind of set up the activities around. That's exactly what Spartan did. You know, not to simplify it, but that's what Spartan did, in a huge field. And normally, like if a race was called Chicago race for Spartan, it was 2 hours outside of Chicago, just so we would have enough rain and room for parking and everything. But yeah, I would get to site and I would manage anywhere from 3 to 14 different independent contractors that changed weekly. And we would just have a tent set up and ready to go for us. And we would bring in all of our product that was shipped in or brought in on trailers and create an entire retail store. So you felt like you were walking into a mall store that just had grass on the bottom.
That is awesome. And I've never done the Spartan race. I've done the first one I did. I was never much of a runner. But I signed up for the zombie run. It was a 5K. It was just, you'd get chased by zombies. but you know, that's because I was, you know, big Walking Dead fan. I was like, all right, you know, that doesn't sound too bad.
Yeah.
And then, after I got my, you know, my feet wet on that, I went and did the Rugged Maniac. So it's, you know, it's along the lines, but it's not nowhere near as intense as the Spartan race. But I do have that on my bucket list that I want to do it. And I know you're a big fitness person. You're a big runner. Did you participate in any 5Ks, and did you do the Spartan race?
I have participated in 5Ks before, but I have not done a Spartan race specifically. It was kind of, it was an interesting concept we joke about sometimes, because as an employee, you do get full, you get free races, but on the off chance that you're off that week, you don't want to pay to go somewhere that's basically like your work setting all the, like you wouldn't pay to go to the office just to be at the office, right? Oh,
100% I wouldn't. Yeah.
So that was kind of frustrating. But I was planning on actually running one with my dad last year. And we were planning it for the spring, and then COVID happened. So that didn't happen.
What kind of training goes into that? I mean, you know, because I see these Spartan races, these people do these, like how many mile runs, like what, give us a typical Spartan race. Like, you know, what does it entail?
Like the obstacles. Yeah.
Yeah. Like the obstacles, how much miles you run, like what does it take to participate in one of these?
So the easiest way that I've explained it to people is picture the different like lengths of running races and add military obstacles every like few hundred yards or like 1 mile, depending on how long it is. So you have like your 2 to 3 mile race, you have your like 5 to 8 mile race, and then, you know, it keeps going up in increments like that. And then.
Okay. Yeah. This is live, people. We're live. Yeah.
Go ahead. And then you also have your ultras, which are as long as a marathon. And so those also end up usually being destination races too, to convince people like to do them still. So like they're in Hawaii and they're in like beautiful places where people would go to, not just to run the Spartan race. And then within those races, you have your military obstacles. So you have like a rope climb, and you have, you know, army crawling under barbed wire in ridiculous mud. And then you have some, like some areas actually when it would rain a lot, we would have to cross off, like you were not able to go through like this little pond or like lake you were supposed to swim through because it was too deep for our regulations.
Wow.
So it was whatever terrain that the crew ended up finding. You'd go up mountains sometimes, which is why some races, you know, might be 6 miles instead of 8 miles, but you're still considered like accomplishing that distance. So,
yeah. So Spartan is a 15K, right?
Spartan ranges. It literally just depends on which distance you're choosing to run.
What's the farthest distance have you heard of a Spartan race?
Because
they have I've seen these like ultra marathoners, these people who run like 70 mile races and stuff, like these crazy type of races. Like, I don't know. You ever heard of like David Goggins? You know who David Goggins is? He's big into training and running. Like he's a very
sports type of guy.
Yeah. Well, he's like a really motivational person, and he was a Navy SEAL and all that. But he was talking about running a 100-mile race with like a broken bones in his foot and stuff like that. Do they do Spartan races that far? Right? Like they're usually seven or eight miles.
Right. The farthest one we have is, my boss might be watching this too. It's 30 mile. I was stuck in the merchandise tent most of the time.
Okay.
I didn't worry about the details of that.
Yeah.
But it's a 30 mile and I worked three of those, I want to say, but the one that actually like I saw the significance of that race was in Hawaii.
Yeah.
And they actually held the event in the same valley that they filmed Jurassic Park.
Oh, that's dope. That's awesome.
You know, like that huge scene where all the helicopters are flying around.
Yeah.
The dinosaurs going crazy. That valley is where we had like all of our like festivals, what we called it. So all the vendors and the merchandise tent. But at one point I was an assistant manager during that event. So the main manager stayed in the tent and they needed a few extra people just to help with handing out water. And the merchandise tent wasn't busy. So I went and helped out and they drove me in like the Kubota, which is like a gator, like a big four wheeler that can do all the terrain. They drove me up the mountain and we just kept going and kept passing people. And I was like, oh my God, like people are choosing to do this. This is crazy. But the attitudes that came by when I was handing out water, like up at the top of the mountain, like some people were like, this is terrible, but I'm going to love it at the end. And just like everyone's pushing each other and everyone just has a great, great attitude. So then by the end of the race, when they come down and by their gear, like saying that they finished the race, they're all in great spirits and everyone's just like, hell yeah, I did that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You definitely feel that sense of accomplishment by finishing them up. So our friend, Pete, it seems like he's done a Spartan race before. He said that the merch tents are awesome. So kudos to you there, Raina.
And our friend Pete Klein is the creator of Action Tennis, which me and Mike are going to do. So it's like tennis with like obstacle course, like obstacles and stuff like that. It's pretty cool. We're going
to like barrels being, rolled onto the court and you have to hop the barrels. You have to run off walls. You got to, duck underneath, like swinging balls or whatever the case is, and wrecking balls. And it's kind of like American Gladiators and American Ninja Warrior meets traditional tennis. and our friend Pete, he was a stuntman in a lot of different movies, mostly over here in the Northeast, the New York area. We're getting closer. All right. Awesome. Great to hear. We're definitely gonna take you up on Action Tennis. I'm definitely gonna be beating Rick. And hey, Raina, I know we're gonna get to it later, but you're coming up to New York. Maybe you can play a game or two of Action Tennis.
I think we can make a fun spin-off video too, because it sounds like a Donkey Kong game I used to play on the video. With the barrels rolling and they're like jumping to the side.
Yeah. I keep telling Mike,
Donkey Kong. Yeah.
Yeah. Like after we play this, like, I don't know if I'll be able to walk for a couple of days because this sounds like it's going to hurt.
Well, you keep talking about getting in the cage. You're going to have to show up. I'm showing up.
I can't be there.
All right. There we go. We're showing up.
We're showing up.
We're showing up. But yeah, back to the Spartan race. Like I did, like you said, finishing one of those things, it's, you feel great. I did the Rugged Maniac, but I must say I'm terrified of heights. So I skipped the one where you had to climb up and go down. But Spartan race, you're not allowed to do that, right?
So I don't know the details of the race. And I was always told if someone asked me a race-based question, a Spartan race-based question, to just push them to the actual crew who knew the race. So in the end, customer service did not get a complaint that an employee told them wrong.
No, that makes sense. But yeah, you know, from what I read on like the website, I considered signing up for a Spartan race because it was at Citi Field, and I like the whole like, hey, let me run through Citi Field and yeah, do the race. Like that's what drew me to it. But then I looked at the obstacles, and they made it seem, you know, strongly implied that it's not really recommended to skip any obstacles. They kind of want you to do everything that's on there. Obviously, if push comes to shove and you're having a panic attack, I'm sure they'll let you skip it. But
right, I've never seen anyone let off site in handcuffs because they didn't want to do.
Well, I know you're not going to get arrested, but I didn't want to be like the only person to do that. So I was like, all right, you know what? I'm not you know, I'm terrified of heights, yet I jumped out of a plane. Figure that one out. But
and you bought a Chargers jersey. So I'm a little confused overall.
Whoa. What does that mean?
That is one cool thing though about Spartan races is the community aspect of it.
Yeah.
And so like you said, I mean, honestly, peer pressure is a thing. And if you see like if you don't want to do one of the obstacles, you in turn will do like 10 burpees off to the side as like I did the obstacle. But I remember one time we were trying to pack up, and normally on Sundays we have races go until like 2 or 3 PM. And so we kind of know generally that's when we can start packing everything up and, you know, last racers coming through. Well, I remember at the, Speedway in Washington, DC,
okay,
we kept being told there was one racer left on course. This is a 2 mile run and it's pretty flat, like pretty flat. There's not any like crazy terrain in DC, right? So all my crew were ready to leave. It had been quite a week with setup and everything. And 2 hours after we're normally used to cleaning up, finally they're like, all right, racers coming by, like racers on the laps obstacle. And we're like, thank God, like, are you kidding me? What's taking so long? And this woman crossed the line and she had her trainer with her. And we ended up finding out the story and feeling like terrible humans for trying to figure out why they were taking so long. But she had been training for months with this one trainer, and her goal was to finish every obstacle by herself and run across the line and not have to have any help at all, not do any, you know, burpees because she didn't do an obstacle.
Yeah.
And sure enough, they went through the entire thing and he coached her every second of the way, and she completed it on her own. And it was just like, it's one of those goosebump moments. Like, that's why you work in sports.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh man. That's, that's incredible to hear. You know,
so Raina, tell us where your career is headed in sports. Like where you want to go. I mean, you've been in some ticket sales, done some event planning, like where's your direction going now? Where's your sort of North Star leading you to?
So I actually have a plot twist with that one. I just received an offer and accepted it with Insider Intelligence. So if you've heard of Business Insider, it's a digital transformation firm. Mm-hmm. And I will be moving to New York City whenever the offices open up there. So I'm going to come hang out with y'all.
Awesome.
But I'm working with as in the customer success department, which is new. So I'll help account holders just maximize the accounts and make sure I'm helping account managers maximize the accounts and making sure all the account holders are happy and they're getting the most out of the contracts that they have with the company. But on the side, I have my own LLC. So that'll keep my sports passion, and I'll do event operations, hopefully work a few Spartan races if my boss will let me come help out. And then I'm also still very involved with my grad program. So I helped create our alumni association with them. So we're hoping to launch that in the next few months. And then I'm also helping out. I'll give a shout out to Alston for Athletes. So that's a mental health, a nonprofit that pushes mentoring for student athletes and make sure that they understand how to support themselves, like physically, socially, mentally, not just having their identity in athletics alone.
That's incredible. Great job. Congratulations.
Yeah. Oh, thanks. Incredible. All of that happened this month. So it's been a lot.
Hey, 2021 is off with a bang. And tell us a little bit about the LLC. Like, what do you have going on there?
So like I said, I started it January 1st was the official date. So a few years ago, I was looking at working for the Olympics. So I interviewed with, I had like two or three interviews with one company to go over and be like a customer service person for some of the VIP clients for the Tokyo Olympics. And I ended up not getting the role because I'm not as fluent in Spanish as I thought I was. It happens. Overconfidence is not that great.
That's all right.
But I am planning, one of my mentors advised me to kind of create an LLC around me just for insurance and liability reasons, especially if I'm working something where people could end up potentially like any kind of injury or being like really upset and have money behind their upset emotions. So he said just to create an LLC to protect myself in the event industry.
Congratulations.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You know, it's always better to be safe than sorry, but yeah, you know, good luck with that for sure. And, you know, I mean, it definitely seems like you are, you know, you're just a people person. Like you want to help people as much as possible. You know, do you have any, you know, I know you're just starting this job, but you do have any, you know, specific place where you want to go and really, you know, make an impact in people's lives, you know, like 5 years, 10 years down the road?
That's a great question. One of my favorite things I do right now is I mentor grad students who are trying to make it in the sport industry. I understand, and I've been through the grind, you know, and I've pulled all the crazy hours at events and, you know, I lived it. I was also in an environment where I knew no one moving out there except for a girl who I was at a conference and I ended up living with her grandmother, you know? So it was a difficult transition for me in general without the support of like, you know, living near family and friends. So I really also like empowering people. A lot of times I've noticed, at least from my experience, people in the sport industry are like trying to make it in the sport industry say like just a lot. And they kind of, they don't realize how experienced they are and how much potential that they have. And they're not used to actually having to like showcase what they've done and really like say it with their chest, basically. That's what I say to a lot of them. And they just like shake their head. They're like, can you not say that to me? But it, honestly, that's what it is. You know, you have to like hold your chin high and say it with confidence and be able to verbalize what you can do and what you've done and the significance of it. Because, you know, on paper, it's so tough to get a job these days. On the internet, you know, you have all these ATS systems tracking resumes and, you know, making you a percentage rather than a person.
Right.
So I make sure that they understand the significance of networking and talking to people and actually like saying what they've done. And it's not cocky. It's not arrogant. Like if you're the shit, tell people you're the shit, right? Like you just have to do it. So I think mentoring students is one of my favorite things.
Do you have them on putting themselves out there on LinkedIn and stuff? Because I feel like that's the way everything is heading. Mm-hmm. You know, if you don't have a LinkedIn, you know, profile presence, you know, I think that the person that does is going to have a leg up on you, you know,
exactly.
And, you know, it's definitely going to be the thing that employers are going to be looking towards the most, I feel.
Yeah, I am really, I'll give a shout out to, Ren Hamer. He just got a job. He went to a scouting academy and he commented on someone's profile on LinkedIn who posted something like, hey, if you're looking for a job in the sport industry, comment here and hopefully my network can help you. And so he commented he was looking for different NFL positions and like scouting jobs. And he said, you know, I'll talk to anyone who can. And I just see someone who's trying to get help and who is out there and like pushing, just doesn't know who to talk to. And people won't give him the time. So we got on like an hour call and I went through his resume. I didn't really critique it or anything because with a lot of those jobs, it's not online. Like you just have to know someone. Yep. I just taught him how to talk about himself. And, you know, he went to the Reese's Senior Bowl last year, and the way he first explains it, right. He goes, yeah, I was at the Scouting Academy. First of all, like, that's sick. Congratulations. Like, say that with your chest. And he goes, yeah, I was at the Scouting Academy and I was a few weeks in, and you know, I got to go to the Senior Bowl, and not many people go apparently. And I was like, okay, wait, how did you get to go to the Senior Bowl if not many people go and you were just a few weeks into the academy? He goes, oh, I was like one of 20 they picked. Okay. So you were one of 20 selected to attend the Reese's Senior Bowl within your first month attending the academy. And you could just see his eyes. He's like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And so he's there and he was like, yeah, but it was interesting because people there had been scouts for a while and they were asking me what I was seeing. And I'm like, no. You are there and someone else is asking your opinion. And you were just talking with a peer at that point. You're not all of a sudden like, why are they asking me? That's a peer. You treat them like a peer at that point, right?
Yeah.
So he just got a job this past week. He was really excited. He works at Temple now.
Congratulations.
Wow. Yeah. Congratulations. And you know, that's awesome. You know, obviously, you know, helping these people, you know, realize that their potential, you know, because sometimes it is hard to realize like what you've done and where, you know, what you've learned and, you know, the experience that you've gained, and you don't really understand how far you've come in certain aspects. Cause it's natural to like, you know, self-doubt and things like that. But, you know, when you find out is when somebody asks you a question about something and you teach them, you realize, oh, wow, I actually know that. And I didn't think I knew it before being asked that question. So, you know, I know you'll be talking a lot about, you know, community and, you know, just, you know, networking and things like that. And, you know, I know we spoke a couple of months ago. I told you about playing the field. You know, we're building a community for sports fans, and we want people to connect over their shared love of sports for friendship or for relationships. And you know, you said, you know, going to LA, you don't know anybody, you know, and we want to try and help people, you know, that are just sports fans. They can just connect with other sports fans. Maybe there's another, you know, a fan of the same team, or just, you know, sports fans in general that just want to, you know, make new friends and, you know, help people that are going to, you know, new places, or freshmen in college that know nobody, you know. So we hope that it, you know, it helps people in the platonic sense and on the romantic sense. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's all about community. It's all about, you know, that networking and just that common passion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a win-win. You know, you either get a friend or a second date. Either way, that's great.
There you go.
So Raina, finally for me, we have a lot of young people who watch our show, you know, who are looking to break through into sports, and they have these obstacles. What final words, what final advice could you give them as they're forging ahead in their careers, looking to break into sports, and like your friend was able to get that opportunity at Temple? What advice would you give them, you know, especially during these times that we're going through, and how they can get ahead?
I would say from a professional aspect, and like skill-based, learn some kind of skill that you can receive a certificate for.
Okay.
Just because like across the board, that just shows that you completed something and you were quizzed on it and you passed it. And that just gives you some kind of like solid credit, like something tangible to say that you know that. Mm-hmm. But honestly, reaching out to people, like researching different industries and trying to reach out to people on LinkedIn. For me, when I was leaving the sport and event industry this past year, it was tough to get people on the phone, like so tough. But I tell you, any sports person who checks their LinkedIn or checks their email and sees someone wants to talk to them, I would genuinely bet you $25 that if you message them at least twice, they will respond at some point, because we all get it. Like, interacting with people in the sport industry isn't the difficult part, it's getting the job. But if you know enough people across the board, like something's bound to happen and someone is going to pull for you. Because even, you know, you mentioned like I worked with the Legends at the Rose Bowl. Yep. I asked a former Legends employee who lives in New York City about his current job just from a LinkedIn message. And he said, "Hey, you worked Legends. That's so cool. Like I worked in this stadium, you worked in that stadium." Like all of a sudden it just humanizes everybody. So I just say, talk to as many people as you can. And something will hit.
All right. There you go, everybody. Good advice.
We have Jordan. She's right. Exact advice. And now I have a new job because I reached out and started the conversation.
Raina, you're making an impact. Look at you. You're helping a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. You know, we just had, you know, King who's looking for, something.
King Sharif,
and,
yes.
And, I know our guest, you know, next Tuesday, you know, he's looking to get somewhere in the sports industry as well. Obviously, he said, wow, that.
Oh, yeah.
That was a good one. That was good.
You know.
And, I should, like, pop out with something exciting next time. Yeah.
And but, you know, he's putting his face out there. He's got his own sports podcast as well. So, you know, he's putting himself out there. And, you know, as long as you keep reaching out, and a lot of our guests that have been on the show have come from LinkedIn and us reaching out and making these connections. And we've built some, you know, amazing relationships with all of our guests, and it's awesome. That's really what pays its weight in gold with us doing this show, is just getting to know all the amazing people that we've had on. Yourself included.
Yes.
100%. If anyone's looking for help, you know, and, you know, we could send them your way, you know, we would definitely, love to do that. And we are excited for you to come to New York City.
Yes.
Whenever that may be, you know, hopefully within the next few months, you know, with the vaccines rolling out, you know, hopefully we can get there, and then we're going to play some action tennis, go grab a drink, and you know, I'll be the designated driver. I don't care.
Perfect. I'm going to put it out there. I want to go to a Yankees game.
All right. Yes, I'm a Yankee fan. Awesome. Although I do have to admit, Citi Field is the better field. Yankee games are fun.
So how about we go to a Subway Series game at Citi Field?
Well played. Well played.
Because I'm down for that.
All right, so that's a deal, Raina. We'll go to a Yankees Mets game at Citi Field, and there you go.
Beautiful, thank you. I'd say football and everything too, but I know baseball is usually easier to get cheaper nosebleed tickets.
Yeah.
Especially at Citi Field.
Yeah, we'll see the chugger. We'll see the chugger drinking the beers in the upper deck.
Beautiful.
Yeah, Raina, thank you so much for coming on tonight. It was great. We really appreciate it.
All right, thanks, y'all.
It was an absolute pleasure, and you know, have a great night.
Thanks, you too.
Thank you. Bye-bye. She's great, man. That's what it is, helping people, man. I mean, she's helping people with opportunities, and she has a great attitude. I mean, that's wonderful, man. You know, she's going to go far. Thank you, Pete.
Yeah, that was it was an absolute pleasure to have her on, and Pete, we're definitely playing.
We're playing.
Don't question us.
Yeah. I might not walk out of there, but I'm playing.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's going to be rough for probably a week or two afterwards. But, you know, I might trip over the barrel like the first time.
That's the thing that I'm worried about, like roll my ankle, like on one of those things. So that's like worries me, but we'll figure it out.
No, I'm worried more about like falling flat on my face.
Yeah.
And then the rolling the ankle part.
But I'm hoping like the helmets have a face mask or something.
Who said anything about helmets?
You don't wear helmets in action tennis? Oh boy!
I don't know, Pete.
Pete, is there helmets in action tennis?
But you know, we will. We'll see.
We'll see.
We'll see. But you know, I don't. You know, do you wear helmets in regular tennis?
I don't know. This is
it's not.
You definitely have to wear knee pads, because if you're gonna fall, you have to wear knee pads. No,
we'll figure it out. Pete says.
Okay, fair enough. Fair enough, because we're running into cages. No helmets. Great.
Oh. No helmets. All right.
So is there a concussion protocol if somebody gets hurt? I mean, what's going on? You know?
Nah. We're gonna roll you out.
Just have a stretcher already. All right.
All right. Well, everyone, that segment was brought to you by Playing the Field. Playing the Field is a sports fan community and dating app. We are in beta right now at playthefielddating.com. And mobile apps are being developed as we speak and should be available within the next few months. You guys should wear a lot of pads.
All right. Good to know.
Okay. All right. Gotcha.
Done deal.
But yeah, looking forward to it for sure. And we're going to make it happen. So keep us posted.
Keep us posted.
And when we're really getting close, we have to have you on so you can.
Stevlin can do like
Stevlin.
I apologize. Stevlin can do a documentary about it, about two random guys playing action tennis and knocking each other out. I mean, you know.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah,
you could do a 30 for 30. That'd be great.
Can we go up against Mayweather?
Yeah. Oh, in his entourage, that'd be fun.
Oh yeah. But all right. So that was a wonderful, wonderful guest.
Yes, absolutely.
But we're well over an hour now, so let's get to some of the news and notes that happened around.
Yes. Interesting day today in the world of sports and the world in general.
So, yeah, I mean, the world in general. So many of you may already know. Thank you very much, Pete.
Thank you, Pete.
Appreciate you, tuning in and chiming in. So the over the last few days, Redditors, Reddit, it's the social network where people just have open forum discussions about anything. They caused GameStop, the stock for GameStop, to just fly through the roof. And it went up from $30 to $400,
something like that.
But today, Robinhood, the stock trading app, just shuts down all trading. And they're saying it's because they're protecting the hedge funds. This is I don't know much about this stuff to talk about it too much. Mm-hmm. But long story short, there was speculation there that Steve Cohen helped bail out a couple of the hedge funds that were involved in this, and then you had Dave Portnoy, the president of Barstool, tweeting at Steve Cohen, and they went into little Twitter spat. From the last time I checked, it looked like it ended rather amicably. but that is kind of like that double-edged sword of Steve Cohen being so public,
and
being on Twitter. And then when these controversies are going to hit, he has to be there to
respond,
say something.
Yeah.
But it looked like it ended amicably. He said he wanted to take it offline and Portnoy said that's where all shady bullshit happened.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
It's not wrong, but, everyone's saying, oh, same old Mets. It's always going to be a dark cloud over the Mets.
Yeah.
But it was just it's crazy that this Robin Hood, take from the rich and give to the poor.
Yeah.
Is all about helping the rich right now. So they might need to get a rebranding going.
Yeah. And as far for the Mets, I mean, if you're Cohen, you don't want to get involved in this stuff. I mean, you have your own personal track record with some stuff with the SEC. I mean, focus on the field, focus on the fact, the story for the Mets today should have been the Steven Matz trade. It should have been focused on that. It should have been focused on the fact that I think the Mets are going to land Trevor Bauer. That's where the Mets should be focusing on.
Mm-hmm.
And for Cohen to get into the spat with Dave Portnoy from Barstool, I mean, that's
No,
he didn't start the spat, but he obviously wanted to take it
either because he's
Twitter.
He's a Twitter influencer,
and unfortunately for him, that's something he's going to have to deal with because when stuff happens, in Wall Street, they're going to try to drag him in there all the time. But they've got to keep the focus on what's going on in the field, and in the next you know, the next big thing for the Mets, obviously, is trying to sign Trevor Bauer, which I think they are going to. I think he's going to end up playing for the Mets. But it was just, you know, listen, man, these guys at Barstool Sports, man, you know, they are, you know, they like to stir up the pot. They like to stir up trouble. And, you know, that's what they did today. And Cohen kind of got Donnie's there. There he is, our boy Donnie. You know, it's just, I mean, he had no choice. But again, keep it on the field, Steve. Just focus on the field, man.
Yeah, just play the field, man.
Play the field. There you go.
He could invest in playing the field.
Maybe. Yeah. Anybody out there want to invest in the company, man? This thing's gonna take off.
Oh yeah.
Let us know.
Yeah. Shoot me an email. Mike at playingthefield.io. I mean, like you mentioned, you know, Matt was traded today to the Blue Jays. Yeah. They got three prospects. So you have to think that they're going to make that hard push towards Bauer, and they did. I think it was what was it, like 3 years? Like,
I think so,
90, something like that.
$9 million or something like that. Yeah,
yeah, but it was well under the, you know, the top annual average salary that he was kind of looking for. He wanted something around Garrett Cole's numbers, but they're even talking about, you know, Arenado trade, maybe a possibility.
The role of Arenado, that's another thing. I mean,
I think something is going to be done. They're going to be bringing in somebody else, into that Mets clubhouse. Yeah. Who it's going to be, I do think that we have a good shot at Bauer, but you know, they're also saying that the Dodgers could offer the same thing. And but probably not as long. So you know, we're just gonna have to
wait and see.
We're just gonna have to see.
I wanted to get to this because the Super Bowl bulletin board material has already started. Scott Miller of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers made a comment earlier today, or I don't know if it was today or it was in the last day or so. That he is faster than one Tyreek Hill.
Oh.
And yeah. Wow. And he went there. And you know what? They took the high road. Mahomes said, hey, listen, that's confidence. Tyreek.
He beats a cornerback that falls asleep in the end of the half, and all of a sudden he thinks he's faster than Tyreek.
Yeah, he went there.
Okay.
He went there. Tyreek Hill and Patrick Mahomes, Patrick Mahomes said he's got all confidence in his guy. And it's so the bulletin board has started, as Tyreek Hill said. He said, hell of a player, good for him. And man, I'm just wondering if you want to give them this kind of bulletin board material, because Tyreek Hill might explode for like 240 yards in the first half in this game.
Yeah.
I mean, Tyreek Hill might now be like, listen, you better throw me the ball on every play, and he might score four touchdowns in the first half of this game. Listen, you don't want to poke the bear, man. Like, you know, leave him alone, but it's already started. The bulletin board material is out and about.
Yeah, no, you can't go down that road, but you know, yeah. I mean, it's, you know, like Raina said, confidence, right? You gotta say it how it is and what you think it is, and you know, you just gotta, you know, personify it, and you have to become that. And
listen,
but I mean, you know,
but come on,
cocky and crazy are two different things.
Exactly.
Okay? Confident and crazy.
And then you're gonna call out Tyreek Hill, the best player, the best receiver in the game right now, on heading into a Super Bowl. The last thing you need is to set that guy off. Like I said, let him score like. Just go nuts. Like he could possibly do like over 200 yards in the first half.
He could. And you know what? If you're faster than Tyreek Hill, why are you the number four receiver on the Tampa Bay?
Exactly. Game? Thank you very much.
Oh, actually, he might even be the number five. I didn't even count in Antonio Brown. He probably wouldn't have even seen the field if it wasn't for Antonio Brown being injured last game.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's just check ourselves at the door there. But big news. They chose what uniforms they're going to wear.
Oh, all right. And what's
the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are going to wear the same uniforms they wore for beating the Saints and for the Packers, and the Chiefs are going to wear the uniforms that they wore against the Niners last year in the
Super Bowl. Oh, so the Chiefs are the home team? They're wearing the home uniforms?
No, but well, technically,
yeah, they were the red jerseys.
Yes. Yeah, they are, but that's what they decided to do. But they technically, this is still neutral.
Oh, I get it.
Oh, it's still neutral. It just so happens that it's being played in Tampa Bay's home stadium.
Correct.
You know, because it, you know, that is what the Super Bowl is about. But yeah, no, they just I guess it's more of like a good luck thing, and they want to keep.
I get it.
I mean, you had Tampa Bay; they had to go to the Super Bowl by playing all away games, and then they get the home field advantage at the Super Bowl. How ironic is that shit?
I mean, listen,
that is crazy.
Yeah. So the Bucks will be wearing the white and the what's it called? The white and the pewter pants, and the Chiefs are wearing the red and the white. So it's gonna be.
So it's kind of like a home away.
Yeah, it's a home and away. All right, listen.
But on the flip side of things.
Yeah. So it's gonna, like I said, it's already against the Scotty Miller, man. What are you doing, man? What are you doing?
Now I ask you, where is everybody? I mean, Tampa Bay, obviously, they're not going very far.
They're not going very far.
Kansas City, you know, they're. Yeah, I know.
But like, I heard that Kansas City might not fly out like a couple days for the game. Due to COVID and all that, like they're not gonna, you know, head out. They're not gonna spend the week partying at the Super Bowl. So,
yeah, I guess press week and all that is gonna be quite different.
Yeah, right, because you can't have all those people at like the Super Bowl press thing. So,
yeah,
you know, it's definitely a different. Yeah, but man, I can't wait. This is gonna be a hell of a game. Super Bowl hype week has started, everybody. It started like. With a week and a half left before the game.
Yeah, yeah. God. It's
Scotty Miller better have a hell of a game if you're going to start talking like that, boy. He better have like three touchdowns. He better have like, you know, 150 yards receiving. He better have a big game.
Dude might play like five offensive snaps. Luke, pull me in.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah. Okay, guy. Antonio Brown's back.
Yeah.
Let's see. I saw something today. It was like Antonio Brown was cut, frostbite, sued, whatever, and still made the Super Bowl.
Yeah. I mean, you know, unbelievable, man.
And it's funny because you got, you know, Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown, you know, got shunned from the Steelers saying that, you know, they could do it without them.
Yep.
And they're both in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I mean, it's incredible that those guys made it, you know, with the teams that the respective teams that they did.
But I mean, granted, like they didn't actually make
it. Right. I mean, I don't know what
they had
what,
very minimal impact on both.
Exactly. Like, I don't know what role they're going to have come Super Bowl Sunday. Was it Damian Williams is going to be there, and Clyde Edwards-Helaire is back, so he'll play.
Daryl Williams.
I apologize.
Opted out. Yeah.
Yes, Daryl Williams is going to be running the ball along with Clyde Edwards-Helaire. And obviously with Scotty Miller and Goodwin and Evans out there, you know, so we'll see what kind of impact they all have. But listen, man, I'm excited for this game. I really am. With the trash talking already started, people talking about, you know, Brady's legacy, Patrick Mahomes and him already being like better than Brady. I can't wait.
It's a great storyline plot setup for the Super Bowl. You know, and for you know, Super Bowl 55, you know, like, you know, a big milestone for, you know, for the Super Bowl, you know, a nice number like that. And, you know, the fact that the coolest, you know, part is the fact that Tampa Bay is playing in their home state, you know, because that's never been done ever. So, you got Craig Carton got his a Tom Brady jersey in the mail today.
No, he didn't. He got a Tom Brady. Oh, jeez.
He did.
Oh, man.
There was a lot of heat on those airways today on WFAN. Evan Roberts was tearing him a new one. He's like, what is wrong with you? Why would you do that? Blah, 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 blah. And it's just, I don't think I could go that far.
Yeah.
And I'm rooting for Mahomes anyway.
Yeah. Did you see what Tony Romo said today?
No.
So he said, this is the biggest game of Patrick Mahomes will ever play, playing for the rest of his career. He said it's the only way to catch Tom Brady. He said he has to win this game. If he loses this game, he cannot catch Tom Brady.
Wow.
Wow. I mean, talk about putting pressure on the kid. He's only 25 years old. No big deal, right?
Yeah, no, that's harsh. You know, it was funny watching the game last week, and you got the Chiefs Bills, and you got, like, I like Tony Romo as an announcer, don't get me wrong, right? As a commentator. You know, he's good. He's knowledgeable. He says the right things, but he's like, he said something to the, you know, to the effect of, that's what you got to do to win big games. You know, like saying that, you know, that's exactly what you got to do. I'm like, but you don't know how to win big games. So how do you know how to talk about somebody?
Listen, man, big games? Tony Romo was a great quarterback in his own right. I mean, that guy,
just couldn't win big games.
Yeah. I mean, he did muff the that field goal try in Seattle.
Oh yeah,
he's had his moments. Lost to Eli. I get it. But listen, him as an announcer, man, it's something else to. It's just to listen to him. Like, he knows the plays are coming. He knows what they're doing. Situation. You know, it's fun. It's fun. It's fun listening to him call games. So
no, it is. It is.
And that game is on CBS, right?
It's CBS.
Oh, man, that's going to be a great Super Bowl. That alone, just having Tony Romo and Jim Nantz doing that game, that's going to be great. Tony Romo in the Super Bowl is going to be ridiculous. Is this his first one doing it?
No. He did one before.
Which one did he do? Was it?
I think it was 2 years ago.
2 years ago? Well, Rams Patriots? Was that the one? That might have been the one. That's the one I could think of. Because last year was Fox. Last year was.
Well, if I type in Romo in the Super Bowl, it's not going to.
It's not going to come up. Yeah, that's all. Yeah, come on, man. For all our Dallas Cowboys fans out there, you know, we don't mean to rag it up, but yeah, the guy hasn't made one.
Did Tony Romo play in a Super Bowl? No, I know the answer to that one.
Yeah, I think we're most
2019. Yep.
Romo's listen, man,
paid color commentator in sports, making $17 million
a season. $17 million a year. Yeah.
And who's meeting with Philip Rivers is possibly going to go to ESPN.
Yeah, looks that way. And is Breeze going to NBC? Is that what's happening?
I didn't see that, but
okay. Geez, if you're Chris Collinsworth, man, how do you feel? Right, you're doing a great gig. He's good announcer. Drew Brees is like, all right, I'm taking over Sunday Night Football.
Now here's a guy who's going to take your job.
Yeah. See that guy over there? He's going to take your job. Oh, man. That's got to suck, man.
We've had some shady characters. I would like Philip Rivers to be in the booth for Monday Night Football.
Yeah.
That would help things out a little bit.
Yeah, these quarterbacks, man, you know, commentating on these games, that's a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, because they know, like, you know, they see everything. I mean,
of course.
You know, they're the eyes on the field, so.
Yeah, we got to get one of them on sometime. We'll see. As the show's growing, folks, we're going to try to reach out to people, see if we can get them on.
Yes, and please, you know, reach out to us if you have anybody that you want to come on the show. Yes. You know, that you can connect us with, by all means. You know, please do. Donnie, I know you're out there. You've connected us with a lot of people, and, you know,
and we also
are grateful. And then Pete obviously put us in touch with Steve Lynn. But, you know, we we love having everyone on, and I mean, we're 52 episodes deep. Yeah. It's a Fan Experience TV, and you know, we're booked up until like April right now. So, you know, we want to definitely get some people out there, and we want to try and add another show as well.
Yes, because we want you guys involved in the show.
We want you guys involved in the show. We want to do more because we love it. But
we want to get your thoughts on things, what's going on in the world of sports, and kind of go back and forth about that. And because you guys make the show for us, right? I mean, you guys are viewers and everybody who's involved and been involved and our guests on the show. You guys make the show, so we want you to collaborate and be a part of it with us.
Yes, absolutely. And if you guys could help out in any way, just go into IMDb, review our IMDb page, go into Apple Podcasts, give us a review, you know, share it with your friends, your family, you know, anyone that loves sports, you know, just have them join us and, you know, adopt the show. And, you know, we're always going to come back every Tuesday and Thursday, and hopefully another day during the week squeezed in there this year.
Absolutely. All right. Well, that does it for episode 52. We want to thank Reyna Ivars for joining us tonight and all of you guys for tuning in. We will see you next Tuesday for episode 53 of the Fan Experience TV, brought to you by playthefielddating.com. So for Mike and myself, y'all have a good night.
Have a good night and have a good weekend, everybody.
Peace.
Do you want to meet other sports enthusiasts like yourself? Playing the Field can help you connect with people who love sports as much as you do, for friendship or romance. You can showcase up to 5 of your favorite teams on your profile trading card to make it easier to find fellow sports fans. Now you can talk about sports, go to the games, or play sports with others who share your interests. Find out more at playthefieldnow.com.